This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. You can find them at harborair.com. Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio, year 17. Could be 18. I've lost track. We have one guest this week, but he has earned the right to be the only guest on this show, and that is Luke Whittall, who's worked in cellars and vineyards and wine shops, still does, since 2005. He's currently a wine instructor at Okanagan College, and you have seen other books by him, Valleys of Wine, A Taste of British Columbia's Wine History. He was the first one to really write about the history. And co-authored the Okanagan Wine Tour Guide with John Schreiner in 2020. The man lives in the middle of wine country, Okanagan Falls, the heart of wine country. And last year, he released Volume 1 of The Sipster's Pocket Guide to 50 Must-Try BC Wines. Volume 2 is coming in the spring. Here's the thing. Some people find wine or people who describe wines or are around wine as pretentious. And the wines aren't pretentious, but some of the people are. Luke tested all of these wines. He didn't just sip them. He had meals with them. The descriptions of the wines are approachable. They're easy to understand. Nobody but Luke is talking about forest floors in this book. Also, on the flyleaf at the very front, starting with A and all the way to W, he talks about wine to suit your attitude. How are you feeling? Are you profound? Are you familiar? Are you festive? Are you flirty? Texas gunslinger? It goes all the way from acceptance to woodsy. By the way, Luke has a podcast, and he'll tell you all about it. And the first thing we're going to do is define what a sipster is and what they aren't. And all of these wines, by the way, are affordable. He's touched all the bases. So and it's really good. His pocket size is perfect, 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 especially for Christmas. So let's have a conversation with Luke Whittall and his book, The Sipster's Pocket Guide of 50 Must-Try BC Wines, just in time for Christmas. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. It's party season at Unsworth. If you are organizing a holiday party for your family, your friends, or your office, think Unsworth Restaurant for a relaxed farm-to-table experience complete with three-course holiday menu and, of course, handcrafted wines. And just a heads up, bookings are filling up quickly, but they still have some lunch and dinner dates available. To see the holiday menu, go to unsworthvineyards.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. We started the life of this show 17 years ago in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench because no one was doing a weekly wine show in the Okanagan. With all of those radio stations, no one had ever thought, hey, let's do a weekly wine show and feature the wineries, our listeners out there. So that's where it started. I find myself now in a home in Mill Bay that, in fact, was the barn for the property that we're on. But it's a gorgeous house now. But it still comes to the fact that I'm still broadcasting from former stalls in a barn. And I like that. I like that a lot about the show. I have in my hand The Sipster's Volume 1, Pocket Guide to 50 Must-Try BC Wines. Luke Whittall is the author and has been doing this for... Actually, you sort of might not have thought about doing a book like this, but just remind people some of the books that you have been part of leading to this one.
Well, I started with my first book on the history of the wine industry in British Columbia. It's called Valleys of Wine. And that was released in 2019, and that was followed up fairly quickly with a co-authorship that I did with John Schreiner called the Okanagan Wine Tour Guide, the sixth edition of that, which was just an absolute honor. It was sort of like you know, being a guitar player and having Eric Clapton come and say, "Hey, would you like to play with a guitar for me?" You know, like. That's what it felt like to me to be able to work with him because, you know, I learned so much about wine from him and BC wine.
But also along the way, you discovered how much work was involved in doing a wine book.
Oh my God, it is unbelievable what John has done, and all the files that he has and all the information that he's compiled over the years. You know, I wrote about a quarter of that book. I wrote, you know, on some of the wineries that I was interested in, and John assigned some to me and things like that. And just the volume of work that I did, that I was, you know, sweating doing, because of course I wanted it to be, to, you know, I wanted John to like it, and I wanted, you know, to fit in with what he does. And he's running past me, you know, and not breaking a sweat, just turning in all of these wineries and writing like crazy. It was unbelievable to work with him. It was so fascinating.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now, something important, I see it on my book, it says volume mm-hmm. one, but I hear that there's a volume two coming spring of next year.
Oh, you caught that. Hey, on the cover, not a lot of people notice that, but the publishers, the great people at Touchwood Editions in Victoria were really optimistic with this one. And every time I turned in a manuscript, I would get back emails, you know, saying, not necessarily about anything I wrote, but about, oh, where can I get this wine? You know, I knew that they were passing the manuscript around the office and everything. And so they were really confident with this book. So yes, there is going to be a volume two. It is in production now. It will be released in the spring of 2023. And there may be future editions that will not necessarily be about BC wine. There's an Ontario one in the works as well, too. So hopefully there'll be more volumes coming.
Well, Mr. Whittall, thank you for setting the table there. But simply because you've started another career, you have a day job, but it appears as though writing is pulling you off in another direction. I think you can do both if you can sleep 24/7.
It's a bit of a balancing act, to be sure. Writing is very much you know, a very inside voice kind of thing. So my creativity has to be sort of silent and in my head until I write things down. And that's a technique that's kind of new to me. My creativity before that has always been, you know, music or, you know, things like that. And so really it's just kind of a new way to be creative. And frankly, the one that I was dragged kicking and screaming into, I had no desire to be a writer. I had no desire to write that first book. And it took me 5 years. But it sort of happened. That's what, you know, is, I always thought that the book was being written and I was just happened to be there. and now that I'm in that industry, it's a lot of fun and I'm really enjoying it. And I've been able to, you know, parlay some of the contacts that I've known in the industry for many years, you know, into, you know, using, like some of the wines that I've already known about, you know, from people who I know in the industry, friends, you know, and so it's been a really good, you know, kind of discovery, you know, journey of discovery, basically.
I find
50 wines.
I think I know. Well, we'll talk about that as well. There's a couple of things. First of all, you and I and everybody out there have run across pocket guides to wines, and they're meant to sit in a jean and use for one season, and then they get washed with the jeans and their pulp. This is not that book. This is a very, and I think that's why there's going to be a volume two and a movie with your part in the movie played by Brad Pitt or something, and and because this is an anti book in that. It's not going to play the game of just giving you this, the growth, the year, the acidity, the volume by alcohol, the barrel program, none of that stuff. Sometimes you say, hey, go visit this winery, but you don't tell us where the winery is.
No. Yeah. Well, because I'd done the guidebook thing with John, and so I didn't want it to be that. I wasn't going to try to jump into that territory at all. I wanted to do something that was very different. And this is very not a traditional wine book in any way.
Not at all.
I've sold a lot of them to people who are like, I don't even drink wine, but this is just fun to read.
It's a good read. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Exactly. And there's a few things that I do keep with each wine. I figure it's good to know, you know, the approximate price, the body, and the sweetness of the wine, because I think that's really important for, you know, food pairing and things like that. But really, these are wine and mood pairings to some degree. They're using metaphors and different ways of talking about wine that aren't, you know, the typical you will taste, you know, elder flowers and rhubarb and
forest floor,
you know,
yes, give me
Edom
some forest,
cheese and
cedar
forest
box
floor. Yeah.
Yes,
exactly.
That's right.
I mean, that's useful and that is handy for certain things, but for an entertaining wine book, this just seemed more fun, and it was really fun to write at the same time.
Okay, right in the fly leaf, from A to W, you have done words that describe the wine or the winery or your mood at the time. Well, you're going to tell us. The first one, the A, is acceptance.
Really, it's about the wine. Everything comes down to the wine in this case. I don't really talk about, you know, the winery story, or I mean, that's up to the winery to do. That's their job. That's their marketing, really. What I want to do is talk about the wine, what the wine makes me feel, or and to use it in a way that is kind of universally understood. So the acceptance one, that refers to Blue Mountain Vineyards Pinot Blanc, which I think is a fantastic wine, always been a fantastic wine, and nobody talks about it. And I think you have to kind of accept that Pinot Blanc does some beautiful things in the Okanagan Valley, and that was really the basis for that chapter. When I think of a wine, usually a keyword will kind of pop out. That's where most of these come from, you know, the pure, the quiet confidence, the detailed, the endearing, graceful, all these other you know, descriptors, really, that a wine will kind of go, hey, you know what, this one is like what a gunfighter would have. Like, this would be gunfighter type wine. And so I put that, and that's what inspires me to then write the rest of the description about it. And hopefully when people read it, they'll get that sort of same attitude, and then maybe look out for the wine. That's the Lakeside Cellar Syrah. Very historic vineyard, actually. I relate everything to all the
exactly
research that I did for my first book.
I'm particularly interested in the next-door neighbors. Lariano on one side and Mooncursor on the other. That little strip right there, that's gold. Lakeside Cellar,
absolutely.
Lakeside Cellar's Syrah, Texas Gunslinger. Medium to full, sweetness, dry, winery price $27, all the good stuff. The long days taking care of the herd and the amazing views over the high mountain ranges. We can do all of that sitting in our kitchen, right?
Yep.
Lakeside Cellars. All right, Luke Whittall, who's the author of Volume 1, The Sipster's Pocket Guide to 50 Must-Try BC Wines. Now, when we come back, we are going to start on this list and just see how many of these we can talk about, just to catch your, just to give you a sense of, walk through some of these pages quickly, and then we'll release it to the world. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. It's party season at Unsworth. If you are organizing a holiday party for your family, your friends, or your office, think Unsworth Restaurant for a relaxed farm-to-table experience, complete with three-course holiday menu, and of course, handcrafted wines. And just a heads up, bookings are filling up quickly, but they still have some lunch and dinner dates available. To see the holiday menu, go to unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Wines in Osoyoos. Their tasting room is closed for the season and will reopen in late April 2023. As far as the winter hours are concerned, it's sales only. Please call the winery. You can find all the details about the winter hours, and just a heads up, they will be closed December 22nd to January 2nd. All the details at mooncursor.com. Luke Whittall is the author of the book I hold in my hand, The Sipster's Pocket Guide to 50 Must-Try BC Wines. There's a volume 2 coming in the spring. By the way, Luke, you'll agree that this book is, well, even though it's been out for a year, it's just in time for Christmas. It's a wonderful
Absolutely.
Gift. Wonderful way to go. It's a great gift. I hope you wrote this, sell a million of them. So I have it in front of me. And before we do that list, I want to ask you about the page 130, Confessions of a Sipster. Do you want to define what a sipster is?
A sipster really is someone who's just paying attention to what they're tasting. And really, it's not a hierarchical thing. It's not trying to be elitist in any way. It's really just if people are aware of what they're drinking and paying attention to the things they drink. And that can apply to wine as well as a tea or coffee or anything like that. It's just that they have a preference. And really, sipsters, I actually write about this in Volume 2, which is going to be out in the spring. Really, sipsters are just somebody that just is paying attention and cares about the things that they are they are consuming. That's really what it comes down to.
You also said, how come you're such a wine expert? Well, you do work in wine. You have worked in wine in and around it. And you're a Wine and Spirit Education Trust Level 3, which is almost a black belt.
Getting there. I'm getting there. I've done a lot of level 4, and I'm hoping to finish that off.
Excellent. And you actually taste all the wines, but you do it the proper way. You don't just sip and spit. You have it with a meal.
That's correct. Yeah. Every one of these wines was had in an actual legitimate wine drinking situation, meaning dinner or just having friends over or whatever. I mean, it was really done. With that in mind, I don't think anybody really takes their wine home from the winery or from the store and then goes home and stands up at their own bar and tastes it a little bit at a time. I don't think people really do that. Yeah. They probably take it home and they'll open it up and they'll pour themselves a glass and then they'll make dinner. So there's a situation for it. And I've always found the tasting rooms, situation being very, very different from how we actually, consume and enjoy wine.
All right.
So this is really just the way of talking about that.
And how tough was it to keep it to 50? Did you, because you could do this and nobody's going to stop you. Did you have a discussion with yourself about, I'm going to do 100. I can't do 50. I'll do 100.
50 was kind of a nice round number. Okay. Because of the size of the book, we probably could have gotten 55, but that wouldn't have really...
I'm going to ask you one question at the end of this run, sure. and we'll see. I'd be surprised at the answer. Here we go. Let's just talk about a couple of things. C-Star.
Sure.
C-Star Estate.
C-Star.
Start right there. And you defined it as Explorer. I know that it's on Saturna Island. I know that the Rosé paid all the bills there. You have a dialogue about forest floor. It's a very interesting visit to Saturna.
Saturna is, I haven't been there yet, but I was infatuated with the Pinot Noir, but also their Sigiravi, which I don't know if that was, it was sort of a dead heat to which one was going to be included. But,
okay.
But I love wineries that really explore and that are not afraid to take risks. And a Pinot Noir from Saturna Island, or from the islands, basically, at that time was really, I think, and still is, really pushing the boundaries of what we can do in right. British Columbia wine.
Okay, let's stay in the area for a second. Blue Grouse, the 2018 Estate Pinot Noir, also Pinot Noir, which you describe as foodie, and you also say Vancouver Island is the Italy of BC. Please explain.
Yeah, I've been to the island a few times to look at, to taste wine and to go visit wineries and things like that. And I've really noticed the change over the last 10, 12 years or so, where the quality has just been going up. The acid levels, though, I find are just a little bit higher. And while people sometimes might think that's a bit of a fault, I don't. I think that actually goes really well, because a lot of time Italian wines are going to be high in acid as well, too. And I think it just has that that kind of food friendliness, and I don't really like using that word, but basically there's a higher level of acidity, and I think that does some beautiful things when you're having food with it, in the same way that Italian wines do beautiful things with those kinds of foods as well.
He is Luke Whittall. He also has a podcast, by the way. Remind me to promote that. The Sipster's Pocket Guide to 50 Must-Try BC Wines. I was intrigued by Dirty Laundry Vineyard, the Hush Rosé, which which I got to tell you, and actually, I was thinking about, when I look at the bottle, I was thinking, it's been a while since I've tried Hush. And because when I first tried it, there was nothing there. However, you're saying, but here's the secret that only a few Sipsters have figured out over the last 5 years. Dirty Laundry's wines have quietly been advancing into legit Sipster territory. Winemaker Mason Spink, way to go, Mace, has been adding new styles. So they have overcome their label and become a really good wine.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Mason has just been doing some amazing things with the wines there. And that was interesting. When I did that tasting, I actually had three rosés, and I did it as a blind tasting. I didn't tell anyone what it was that they were drinking. And I was really on the fence about some of them, but I wanted to see what people were thinking about it. And not knowing, that Hush rosé was the favorite of the evening.
I like your last line. Do you want to visit the south of France? Start in Summerland. Hush Rosé might currently be the closest pink wine to Provence in BC. Well done. Way to go, Dirty Laundry. Way to go to Mason.
Absolutely.
And let me see. Oh, Orofino. Now, the thing I like about this is, first of all, the Passion Pit, which was their gravel parking lot, and the cab from Orofino. You define it as excited. We'll get to that one. And Orofino may be the ultimate Sipsters winery in the ultimate Sipsters wine region, which is a glowing review. Tell us, please.
You know, with Orofino's wines over the years, there's just been a real interest in the flavors and the taste and the smells and everything that goes into the wine.
Yeah.
And it happens vintage to vintage, year to year. I've done full vertical tastings of the Beleza. I've had a lot of the Passion Pit Cab. Their Petit Verdot is just a scream. Their Riesling is just a scream. There's not a lot of small wineries out there like that that puts so much interest and kind of rabid interest into each one of those and can successfully do it. And I think the Similkameen is the perfect area for them to do it. And I think that they've just done it fantastically well and consistently over the years. And so it was actually really difficult to choose which wine of theirs to put in. I knew I was going to put one of their wines in, but I just didn't know which one.
You know what I would have put in?
What's that?
Gamay.
You know?
Their Gamay.
That was a close second. I love that Gamay.
I love that Gamay. That Gamay is fantastic.
So good.
And I try not to tell people, so there's more for you and I. Volume 1 of the Sipsters Pocket Guide to 50 Must-Try BC Wines. Luke Whittall is our guest. He wrote it. He lived it. He sipped it. Now, Fandango. Defined it as philosophical. So I just love the whole thing. I love the planting. I love the winemaking, everything. It's, of course, a blend of Albariño and Verdejo, Spanish whites. And I just love the bravado of this wine.
This wine makes me think, and I'm a member of their wine club now, and this wine, every time, every new vintage that I get, I take a sip, and I'm like, what is this? And not only is it, what is the wine, but where am I in life? And what is it that brought me here to this wine, to this glass, to this sip, to this situation? I mean, there's not a lot of wines that can do that. And this is one of those wines. It really does, you know, make your mind sort of blow up and see a lot of different things in a very different light. And that was the essence of that experience that I wanted to capture. So, and it's consistent. I've had many vintages of that now, and it's just fantastic for that, for all those same reasons.
I think it's remarkable that it was conceived as a project for Sankey Tennant, the very fine winemaker who gave us a Nota Bene, who created Nota Bene in Black Hills, and that she turns herself around and then starts to make Spanish whites in another life.
And all whites, and no other one. And, you know, they had a little bit of Syrah, but they really focused on whites. That was such a major, major turnaround.
Here's another one that I discovered just, I was at you know, those 5 years in the Naramata bench were a blur, but people would do a Friday tastings on balconies or patios, mm-hmm. just their neighbors. And that's how I discovered Maréchal. Because you can't discover Maréchal. The signage is non-existent. You drive by it. You can drive by it 30, 40 times before you notice this little sign. But they make Lone Wolf Syrah, and it is fabulous. It may be, on certain years, the best Syrah in the entire valley.
I agree. And this is one of those wines that I was kind of leery about including, because in some ways, I don't want people to know about it. I want people to, you know, because then, of course, then more people will want it, and then it'll get sold out quicker, more quickly, and then it'll, you know, the price will go up. Whereas this is really a Naramata, in some ways, a really, you know, Naramata secret to some degree. It is just mind-blowing. And that explains the, you know, what I wrote about it in here, where you really, if you enjoy this wine, don't tell anyone.
Just in time for Christmas, the Sipser's Pocket Guide to 50 Must-Try BC Wines, Lou Quittal, is our guest. He'll be right back with the third segment here. But when we come back, we're heading for Fairview Cellars and a wine he describes as lustful. Be right back. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor Wines in Osoyoos. Their tasting room is closed for the season and will reopen in late April 2023. As far as the winter hours are concerned, it's sales only. Please call the winery. You can find all the details about the winter hours. And just a heads up, they will be closed December 22nd to January 2nd. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. The holiday features are happening at Jason Parks Customs. They have their JPC Advent Calendar with wine, cider, beer, spirit, and fizz all in one box. Screaming Frenzies are ready for the season. 2021 Chardonnay, 2019 Pinot Noir, and the 2019 Syrah. Great news from Jason Parks Customs. Two events for you. Friday, December 23rd, Todd Kearns returns to the Broken Hearts Club. And New Year's Eve, it's a Gatsby New Year's Eve party at Crown and Thieves. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com. Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan, Luke Whittal. The volume one of the Sipser's Pocket Guide to 50 Must-Try BC Wines. Volume two is coming in spring of 2023. That's a lot of work. Now, Fairview Cellars. Let's carry on here. And by the way, when I mention names, it's just at the very front of the book, it says, how are you feeling? Playful, poetic, profound? With Sipsters, you can choose a wine to suit your attitude. So it's your attitude first, the wine's attitude second. If you're ready for lustful, I would head for a Fairview Cellars, and not for that big-ass red bucket of blood. Yeah, no, because Eggert liked making dead red wines that you couldn't see light through, and mm-hmm. they were from another planet. But then he decided to plant on his road going downhill. It was just a road. He could grow on it. Mm-hmm. So he planted Save Sam. And you have one of his huge hits.
Absolutely. The Sauvignon Blanc is just a screamer of a wine. I mean, and it's been since he started. I remember when he started doing that, he was always known for his reds, and they had a certain style. They're very big and powerful type reds, and they were extraordinarily good. And so for him to want to try a white, I thought, well, is this going to be like a big, powerful white? And of course it's not, but it's beautiful what it is. And it is, if this doesn't make you fall in love with seafood, I don't know if a wine can. It is just fantastic. And that was the other thing in choosing some of the wines for this book. I didn't want to go for the obvious ones. It would have been obvious to include a Fairview, you know, red of some kind.
Yeah.
And really, I think these are the sort of, unless you go there, you won't probably even know that they make a Sauvignon Blanc. And so it's one of those things that allows people to discover wines.
Is this the pairing? Is it Fairview Cellars Save Sam, the pairing for your wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Right. I like that. Good laugh.
Just in case your honeymoon.
Yeah, honeymoon. That's right, for your honeymoon. Yeah. Echo Bay. Yeah. They're Cab Franc. Now, everybody tries to make a great Cab Franc. We're getting better and better and better at it, much better than when we started this show. And Echo Bay, they're small, but they know what they're doing.
Absolutely. There was a couple wineries that I didn't have, that don't have a long history. And I tried to find wineries that I thought are going to have a long history, you know, that have, you know, that, that seem to have a bit of a consistency within their portfolio. And with Echo Bay, the Cab Franc, I knew their wines were good, but then when I opened the Cab Franc, it was just unbelievable. It was just such a pure experience. And that's, of course, the attitude I gave.
That's the attitude.
And it was just, it, you know, it just made, it was like a magnifying glass on my food. I was able to kind of see and sense everything much more clearly. It's like a, you know, higher resolution. You know, it was just a fantastic experience.
Hey, Luke, let me go back one. Let me just to do a follow-up on Fairview Cellars. Bill sold, of course, and there's new owners there, and they're doing a great job. You described this wine, this Sauv Sem, as Fairview's curling wine, which is, you know, curling is one of the sports where you can drink and do the sport at the same time.
That's right. Yeah, curling I did for a few number of years, and curling really is a game of subtlety, and you can,
what?
You know,
what?
Throw a rock down an ice.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Wait a minute, there's no subtlety in hurry hard.
Well,
screaming.
Maybe not in the shouting part, but there definitely is in the aiming and the throwing. It's you know, putting two rocks to slide by each other with the width of a credit card between them is amazing. And I've seen it done. And
so
wait a minute.
You're recommending the wine for either your honeymoon or curling. there's a confluence there. Okay.
Well, there'd be a lot of curlers who might honeymoon in that way. You never know.
Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan, Luke Whittall, the volume one of the Sipser's Pocket Guide to 50 Must-Try BC Wines. Volume two is coming in spring of 2023. I like your description of Moon Cursor as being in a rebel stance. Because of the Dolcetto, for one thing, that's what you're highlighting. But it's of all of the other wines that they make as well.
You know, I was following them when they were Twisted Tree back in the day.
Yeah.
And when everyone was coming out, all the wineries were coming out with their Pinot Gris and their Chardonnays and their Merlots, they were coming out with Tanat and Viognier Marsan Roussan and Dolcetto, and I'm like, what the heck is this? Like, who? What? Yeah, you know, this is crazy. But it was so attractive to me because I wanted to see if they could do this, and of course, they can, and it's fantastic. So the Dolcetto was just literally, that was the wine that was sort of enrapturing me at that time. Although they have a lot of other wines that could have been in here as well. But it's super fun. It's just a fun wine, and I absolutely love it. I giggle over that wine every time.
Which is why you defined it as a fun loving, and they are.
Absolutely.
Chris and Bita Tolley are fun lovers. They really are. Oh, here's a couple of things. Meyer is described as be assertive, or if you're in an assertive mood, and Noble Ridge, joyful. They're side by each. They're both Okanagan Falls, and both of those, if I'm not mistaken, were Brut wines.
That's correct. Yeah, both dry. In fact, the Meyer was really dry. I think they call it extra Brut, technically. It's very, very dry, but very different as well. I mean, they're really just on the opposite sides of the same, you know, McLean Creek, but just you know. Beautiful, bright flavors all around, and just a fantastic, you know, experience opening those wines. I love sparkling wine for that reason, because there's such a almost a ceremony around it, and with especially with the one was always I found a really joyful type wine as well, for the same reason. The assertive part, though, from Meyer Family Vineyards, that really has to do for me with just how reflective it is of the Okanagan experience. It is dry here. And when the wine is dry like that, it kind of reminds me of that. It's just a wonderful allegory or metaphor for that kind of,
all right,
that kind of existence.
And across the valley from Meyer and Noble Ridge, not exactly, but pretty much, is Culloden on Skaha Lake, and it's the home of Black Market Semillon. And you defined it, you should be in a poetic mood if you're feeling poetic. So Black Market is one of about seven or eight that have shown up in Culloden, the latest one being Anthony Buchanan. The place is going to be jumping. It's going to get seriously good.
Culloden has a lot of energy right now for wine. It's kind of the up-and-coming place, and it's actually going to feature a little bit more. No spoilers, but there might be some more in Volume 2 of Sipsters that will take place in Culloden as well, or at least from wineries in Culloden too. But the Black Market one, yeah, absolutely. It's kind of, as I call it, the singer-songwriter of the wine world, you know, with the Semillon, because it's just a fantastic, you know, easy drinking, but it has these hooks. It has these little flavors there that just sort of grab you, just like the songs, you know, the great parts of songs that kind of, you know, you want to hear it again, and you want to like play the whole song again. And it's just those things that grab you. And that Semillon from Black Market has that.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. The holiday features are happening at Jason Parks Customs. They have their JPC Advent Calendar with wine, cider, beer, spirit, and fizz all in one box. Screaming Frenzies are ready for the season. 2021 Chardonnay, 2019 Pinot Noir, and the 2019 Syrah. Great news from Jason Parks Customs. Two events for you. Friday, December 23rd. Todd Kearns returns to the Broken Hearts Club. And New Year's Eve, it's a Gatsby New Year's Eve party at Crown and Thieves. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Here's some important information. The Tasting Room and Wine Shop are closed for the season. Wine sales are available Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Bistro is closed for the season and reopening spring of 2023. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. I have in my hand The Sipsters, Volume 1, Pocket Guide to 50 Must-Try BC Wines. Luke Whittall is the author. Pantage. I'm crazy about Pantage. First of all, they're just outside of Penticton. Just when people are having their first sip of coffee after they've left Penticton, they're not thinking about going to Pantage. They're trying to get down to, a Blasted Church. You know Blasted Church. And Meyer and all those, and down to Oliver and on to Wasoyus. Not 3 minutes after leaving Penticton, but I like those guys. I like the fact that when I first visited, you needed a four-wheel drive to get up the driveway, and they fixed that up. Then they knocked a hole in the side of the small mountain up there to build a tasting room, and they liked it so much they turned it into a cellar. So then they had to go and build themselves a tasting room. I love their Marsanne Brisanne. I really do. And you described it, you should be in a mysterious mood. How about all of that?
Yeah, you know, Pantage has a lot of different wines that could have been included in this as well. But the Marsanne Brisanne, or the Roussanne Marsanne blend, I guess, for this particular vintage was the one that I chose simply because I thought it was the most mysterious one that wine drinkers may not be aware of. They make a lot of different wines there and a lot of different single varieties. And some of them like Cabernet Franc and Merlot, everyone knows, but the Roussanne Marsanne, I think was just a little bit different. And I love those wineries that take risks with different varietals. And this one to me really stood out. So hopefully it'll get more people, you know, interested in those kind of wines, and especially from Pantage. And it's a great place to visit, although slightly terrifying to get into and out of.
No,
absolutely.
But the deal is, I believe, unless I'm mistaken, they have the widest portfolio in the Okanagan. I mean, there's got to be 16 different wines that come out of there. Mooncursor is a very close second. But I love Pantage just for their jam. I love the way they live their life and make their wines.
Absolutely. And the view when you're tasting from there is just like everyone has a view, but they have like fantastic view. Sorry, it's very unique.
I'm not there for the view. I'm sorry, sir. I think maybe we may end just here because you've got to get on and I have to get this edited. I've gone to the back of the book. The book, by the way, The Sipster's Pocket Guide to 50 Must Try BC Wines. Get it for Christmas for yourself or your friends. Volume 1, Volume 2 in the spring. Beaumont Family Estate Winery. How about that? Pinot Noir Ice Wine. Beaumont, my friends. And there's a lot of people going, what? Where's Beaumont? Yep. Up Vancouver Island, Beaumont.
Beaumont is West Kelowna, actually. That's the one in West Kelowna. And it's a small family organic winery just across from Little Straw, actually, on Boucherie Road. But I needed to include an ice wine, and this was the one that I thought was unique enough because it's red, of course, and just beautiful flavors, wonderful, wonderful flavors and texture, of course, being ice wine. And fantastic. It's hard to fit ice wine under the price point, too. Every wine in here is under $50, and this one is as well.
It's fantastic. All right, and one more, because I happen to have a bottle just over my shoulder. Mayhem, the 2018 Fortified Gewürztraminer.
Mm-hmm. Very unique. Fortified, first of all, fortified white wines are just not, you know, easy to find. But this was super creative and it was really, really good. It was fantastic with sort of I think I had it with a fruit, sort of a cobblery type thing, but something that, you know, with a white fruit that you can't necessarily pair with a sweet red wine. It is just beautiful smelling. And hopefully they'll keep doing this kind of work.
Okay, I lie. Last one, and it's and the attitude is respectable. Quail's Gate, a fortified vintage Foch. I had a conversation with a new winemaker there. I won't give his or her name, but I pointed to the slope outside the estate and said, "What's that green patch over there?" And they said, that's an acre of Foch, and I have no idea what to do with it. Not a clue. I can see what they've done with it. They've made an incredible fortified vintage Foch.
It's a fantastic wine, and it really doesn't get a lot of notice. They make an ice wine that gets more notice. They have a late harvest Optima that gets a lot of notice. But the fortified thing, I think, kind of scares people a little bit. Even though, you know, port is fortified and everything. But they've been making this wine for a while. The Foch is definitely an odd grape for a fortified wine, but it works. It works really well. And it really, really honors their legacy as well, too, because there's a lot of history in that property. Going back pre-vineyards, I mean, it's going back to the pioneering days. And they'll tell you about it when you visit, if you ask. And it's nice to see a wine that kind of honors that. And it also worked really well because it was a great way to close out the book.
By the way, Luke, I like your general touring information. Know what to wear. Know what not to wear. Protect your wine from heat. Don't throw it in the trunk in the middle of summer. Explore. I like that part. Love the driver you're with. And like that. You've touched all of the bases here. It's really good.
Well, thank you.
And how
it was a joy to write. It really was.
What about the second one? Was it easier to write because you knew the format?
It was easier to write because the format had been established, so it actually took a little less time to produce. There were some delays with some of the wines as well because I do request wines from wineries. I'll also go out and just buy them myself and see what's interesting. But definitely, once the format is established, it's a lot easier to do. 12 years ago, even maybe 10 years ago, a book like this wouldn't have been possible, you know, with that many wines to have. And now it's, you know, a testament to the quality of British Columbia wine right now that we can actually keep going with volumes of this maybe every, you know, year or two. Because there's a lot of really good wine out there, and there's a lot of it that most people might not even know about.
Some of it we won't even tell you about because we want to save it for ourselves.
Well, that'll be a secret edition that might come out.
Yeah, there you go.
Or you have to listen to the podcast for that.
Okay, here's the deal. How do they get the book? How do they put it under a Christmas tree?
Book is available at a lot of different retailers. It's on all the usual big ones. A lot of local bookstores have it. Mosaic Books in Kelowna has it, and there's some bookstores in Victoria that do as well. A friend of mine sent me a picture of the Capilano Suspension Bridge in North Vancouver actually has copies of it there, which is interesting because I actually used to work there 20 years ago. Then, of course, all online and all the normal retails as well. And if you're in the Okanagan, some wineries have it in stock too.
And the podcast?
Sitzer's Wine Podcast. Yes, I actually just launched this about two months ago. We're at episode 5, a new episode every Wednesday. And it's featuring people in the industry, people not in the industry, but sipsters, people who just enjoy wine and enjoy talking about wine and things that they love. Podcast is at sipsterswinepodcast.com.
Nice. That's what I wanted to do. All right. Thank you for your I realize your day's crazed. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much, Terry.
Thank you, Luke. It's the Sipster's Pocket Guide to 50 Must-Try BC Wines, Volume 1, Volume 2 in the spring. Comes to you from touchwoodeditions.com. Luke Whittall is the man who wrote it, who lived it, who loved it. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Here's some important information. The Tasting Room and Wine Shop are closed for the season. Wine sales are available Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Bistro is closed for the season and reopening spring of 2023. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. You can find them at harborair.com.